So the sugya today comes out of one, you know, you will not have any bigger stira between two gemaras, right, than the stira which we're dealing with today, between the gemara on daf ayin vav and the gemara on daf ayin tes, right? The question we have, so if you steal and then you sell something, do you have to pay a dollar to hay, right? So what if you sold it, what if you stole an animal and you sold it to Hekdesh, right? So is that going to be considered a mechira for purposes of dollar to hay or not? So,
sold it.
What?
Sure, it's not this shit.
Oh, so that's
so, you just say it's like it's
so that's right. That's a good question. I was machdish it, right? So I stole it and I was machdish it. So why would I be chayav dalbe?
If you sold it to...
Yeah, right. I transferred ownership from... the thief transfers ownership from his possession to the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. Why wouldn't it be? Can I take some spell?
Oh,
thank you.
Because even when... Your mafia
should
still sort of in the possession of the person whose it was.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Gemara goes back and forth on this, right? And what does the Gemara end up saying on Daf Ayin Vav?
I think which one it says you're up there.
Yeah. And what's the line that the...
Ends with,
So there are kind of two different formulations, right, that come up in Ayin Vav.
The question, what's the difference between Mechira, what's the difference between Makdish?
Right, so what's the phrase to say? Excellent, right? So that, if you want to say there is Dal Vehei, right, what do I care if you sold it to a human being? What if I care if you sold it to Ribbono Shel Olam, right? As opposed to, what's the other perspective? Right.
Meaning that when you sell it to a human being, you're like transferring ownership from Reuven to Shimon. When you're being mocked or something, it stays in the reshut of Reuven.
Right. So how do you? What does that? What does that mean? Originally, it was Reuven's, and now it's also Reuven's. It's the basic mitzvah. It's not Reuven's.
No. If you have this idea of like chayav bach or yitam, then he still is like liable for it if like something were to happen to it. So you need to replace it.
Okay. So who's the owner of the cow?
Reuven.
Yeah.
Reuven's the owner of the cow. Because Reuven has an obligation to watch over the animal?
I thought it was because since it's hektish, well, since Hashem is Be'ah, therefore has to be brought to shame someone, therefore it's brought to shame Reuven. If it's not brought for anyone, then... To be Mechaper, it's Mechaper on someone. So it's Mechaper as if being a Mechaper Reuven.
So it's a little bit unclear. Right.
Mm-hmm. Both possibilities.
Both exactly. Right. And what does it take to be considered the owner? And how much ownership has to be transferred to have the chi of dal veheh? Right. In other words, there are kind of two questions going on at the same time. Number one, when you give something to Hekdesh, so who's the real owner of the object? / how much ownership needs to be transferred to trigger the chi of? So the Gemara here, right, concludes that there will not be a chiyuv dalet behe because meikara tara deruvin v'hashta tara deruvin. Right, originally before you made the hektish, it was Reuven's cow, and now after making hektish, it's still Reuven's cow. Okay, how does Rashi explain that? That line of meikara tara deruvin v'hashta deruvin.
Before you sold it, it was called on the name of the guy. Now, when it's sold, it's on the name of the person who was purchased.
Right. So that's a regular case, right? I steal a cow; it's my cow, and when I sell it to you, it's your cow.
Right, but when you sell the shemayim, it doesn't gain the name of anyone else. It's still on the person who had it previously.
Yeah. So let's translate that.
into what from Hebrew?
The last line. Yeah, let's translate the last line.
When you sell this Shemayim, it still has the name of the person who is makdish it.
Okay, how so?
Shekori Adoto Shal Ploni. It's called the Ola of Ploni, of the person who...
It is called Ploni's Ola.
Ploni's Ola.
So he is considered the owner because it's called his Ola. Is that what we think ownership means? It's called your Ola. So you're the owner?
Makes sense to me.
What would your accountant say?
No, because you didn't make any use of that.
What?
It's already a sunk cost, so you don't account for it.
If your accountant is evaluating your assets, right? And let's imagine you get a federal tax deduction if you donate animals to Carbanos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have equity in this carbon? In this, right? Financially speaking, does it belong to you? It's a bit of a trick question.
I'd say because you can't make any use of it.
You can't get it wrong, you can't get it right.
It's a sunk cost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can't be mahal of it. Right? So since there's no possibility of any liquidity from it, you can't really consider something you own.
Okay, you can't get liquidity from it.
Do I get any
tangible physical benefit from the carbon?
You may eat something from it sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay.
But so can people who don't own it.
It's true. These are the jobs.
Right. Although you get to choose who's in and who's out. But what do you mean sometimes?
I mean, depending on how carbon.
Right. Two basic categories are?
Maybe in the Dova. I'm not sure that they're about you for Shlomim and Ola.
Shlomim and Ola, right. Kachem and Kachem Kalim,
right?
So Kachem Kalim, you do retain some financial ownership. Right, and Kadshe Kadashim, you don't, right? So, if the question was financial ownership of the carbon, determining whether you're called the Bailim, then there should have been a distinction between Kadshe Kadshim and Kadshe Kalim, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would have understood that. What carbon does Rashi mention?
Ola.
So, Ola's Kadshe. Kachem Kachem, right? The owner does not get to eat any of Yolam, right? So apparently, even in the world of Kachem Kachem, we are still saying the fact that it is called your Ola means that this has not been considered a valid sale. That's a little bit surprising, right? Because if Mechir means selling a transfer of ownership, right, then financially speaking, it still belongs to Hakdish. And yet, apparently, we're not considering this mechira. Not only that, but the Gemara kind of has a sarcastic line, right? Like, why would you think this is a mechira? Right? Originally, it was Reuven's cow, and now it's still Reuven's cow. Right? Nothing has changed. So, apparently, mechira for Dalet Behei requires more than transfer of financial ownership, right? It requires a transfer of the shame bialim. Right, that even if you're not the owner, from a financial perspective, you still may have certain rights or legal status as an owner, and if that's still there, then there's not going to be a chiyuv dalet behei, right? So you still have legal rights because it's called your ola. Now I'm not really sure what's significant about it being called your ola. Like, why do we care that it's called your ola? What's the significance of that?
Brought on your behalf, like in the Beit HaMikdash, it's like people are referring, are like acting towards it as though it's yours.
Right, excellent. So that's a formulation that some of the Rishonim have, that you get the kapara from this Ola. So I'm not sure if that's what Rashi meant, but it is a lot easier to understand, right? You have a special, you are the owner in the sense of it's going to be brought for you. Or if you're altruistic and you say, bring this Ola on behalf of someone else, then you're the one choosing who it's being offered for. So that could be an example of ownership, right? Ownership gives you various rights, not only those in the financial realm. So exactly, if it's being brought for kapara, your kapara, then that makes sense. Okay, so that's the Gemara 9 Vav, and then what's the problem with Gemara 9 Tas? Right, mali machro lehedyot, mali machro leshamayim. So of course there's a chiyah dalbe, right? And it's not like these are two different gemaras, you know, scattered across Shas that that Tosos have to dig up, and nobody ever would have caught, right? This is like, you know, anybody who's who's doing daf yomi and like stayed awake during it would hopefully, you know, catch this one. You know, this is like as blatant as they come. And not only is it a total stira, not only is it a stira that's like so close in proximity, but again, like the sarcasm of the line, right? Like, why would you think X? Like, what do I care if it's Reuben's, before it was Reuben's cow, now it's Shimon's cow, versus, you know, before it was yours and now it's yours, right? So the sarcasm is just something to pick up on, because that indicates that there's like a real conviction to the Shita. Okay, so what do we do? So we've two basic options, right? One less exciting and one more exciting. So less exciting option is going to be
for the different cases.
That's a more exciting option. What's the less exciting option?
It'll be less exciting than that.
Yeah.
That's a sort of balapatish
answer. more balapatish / less tosophistic. I have a contradiction.
We only paskin like one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And we paskin, right, we have two different views here, and we paskin like one of the two.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. I think the Meiri that I gave you quoted that view, and it's like a prevalent view in most the Chachmei Sfarad, right? They quote the Rif as saying this, although it's unclear if the Rif actually said it. The Rambam seems to have said it, and some of the other Sephardi Rishonim. Okay. Right. What? I sent him out a little bit later. This has been happening lately. Okay. Right. So the basic alternative, and that's what we have to kind of like explore for the rest of the day, is the chelik proposed by Tosfos. Right, so let's read inside the Tosos on Ayin Vav and Aleph, Dibur Hamaschil Bahashta Torah de Shimon. It's not in the source codes. No, because it's just in the Gemara.
Yeah.
Right, we just need to read the first five lines, right, until Shem Bailim.
Okay, shall I read? Sure,
just do it slowly.
Because just like you sold it to some other guy, to a Reuven or Shimon, wherever you are in that case. Right? When you have the carbine, you don't call the carbine on the shape of the Baal.
That's good. That's all we need, right? So what's the basic chilek, right? So the two gemaras are talking about two different types of hektish. What are the two different types of hektish that we're talking about? Right. What does that mean?
One is the kedusha is really on the object itself versus the kedusha versus the bias, where it's on, it's more monetarily based.
Well, just practically the difference is that one is like that you're a carbon, like,
yeah, exactly. Right. This is actually an important distinction, because Daniel Wolf used to point out to us that those two don't always correlate. Right. There are two ways you can divide Hekdesh. One is Kadshe Mizbeach versus Kadshe Bedek Habayis, right? What's the destination of the object? Is the destination of the object to the Mizbeach, or is the destination of the object to the temple treasury?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The other way of distinguishing between them is what Adam was saying, was kedushas haguf versus kedushas damim. Right? Does the object have inherent sanctity, or does it have only sanctity in terms of its financial value? Now, normally those two are equivalent. Right? Normally, your kadshe mizbeach have kedushas haguf, right, and your kadshe bedek habayis have kedushas damim, but they don't always overlap. So an example would be, right, some of the building materials involved in the actual physical heichal have kedushas haguf, even though they're obviously not kachim as bayah. So by and large, right, people usually think of those as equivalent terms. It's important to remember that they're not.
So those are obviously beta kabayas.
Yeah, exactly. It's beta kabayas with kedushas haguf. 95% of the time, kedushas mizbeach equals kedushas aguf, and kedushas beta kabayas equals kedushas damim. But there can be differences, right? So Tosas are saying one gemara is kedushas mizbeach, one gemara is kedushas beta kabayas, right? What's the basis for the chiluk?
Because it's all shame. Meaning,
which gemara is which?
The Gemara on Tetam Aleph would be Kashe Bedek Abayas, or the Gemara here, which would be
right. When we say, but, you know, you sold it to, you know, what do I care if you sold it to Hedyot? What do I care if you sold it to Gavoha? Right, which the Gemara and Ayin tests. So that was referring to Kedushas Bedek Abayas. Right, what do I care if I sold it to a person? What do I care if I sold it to the temple treasury? Versus, right, Meikar Tod Ruven, Hash Tod Ruven, is when I was makdish it as a carbon. Right, because then you still are the bialim. Now we saw, right, we talked a minute ago that Rashi is a little bit vague as why you're the bialim. Did I give you the line in Tosas and Ayin Tes to look at?
Yeah.
Okay, right, so if you just take a quick look, right, they're linked, and the Bach actually, I think, connects them. We don't need to see the whole thing, but just the last wide line in that Tosas, right, when he's explaining.
Yeah,
you want to take it?
That the carbon is brought lechaper on the baalim, and it's shechted in his name, and the name of the baalim is on it. So this seems to be that. Well, this wouldn't. If Rashi thought like this, then it would seem that the whole. What does it mean that your shame is alav? It's that it's brought lechaper.
Yeah, this line seems like Tosos are they're laboring a little bit, right? There's some, you know, you sense that there's some I don't know what the verb form of strenuous is, but they're strain, right? Yeah, straining, strenuous is the strain. They're straining a little bit to explain why you are still the violin, even though it's hektish, right? As we talked about, that is a little bit vague. Why would you say meikar Torah Deruvin, Mahasha Torah Deruvin, if it is now in the financial ownership of the Beis Hamikdash? Which is why they throw out three different lines at you, right? As Lisa was saying a second ago, Rashi only had that last one. Tosas say, well, the karban is brought for you, and it's shechted on your behalf, and it's right, has your shame bialim on it, right? So it's good because they're giving you concrete examples, but you also sense that, you know, they need to explain what's going on in a way that Rashi did it. So I don't know if Rashi's conception of a shame of ownership was the same. I don't really think that it
seems similar.
Yes and no.
Based on the Tosos and Ayin Tes,
If I was going to just write one of Tosos's three things, right? Or if you could just, you know, you want to be as concise as possible. So you're going to pick one of the three things that Tosos had said in Ayin Tes. Which one would you have chosen?
Brought on your behalf.
Oh, which of these three things I chosen?
Yeah. So would I. Right, because that's the most concrete, understandable, kind of, you know, crystallized exhibition of ownership, right? So, but Rashi didn't say that. Rashi said it's called your Ola. So I don't know if Rashi just says that because he's trying to give a general catch-all line, or if Rashi thinks that being called yours is enough to give you a shame bialim to eliminate dal behay, right? Which is a bigger chiddush. Like saying, oh, it's called your ola. To say it's brought on your behalf, I understand why that makes you the owner. To say it's called your ola is a bigger chiddush to make you the owner still, right?
Doesn't Tosos on the Ayin Tes use pretty much the same formulation as Rashi? Mikrash and Balin?
Yes. 100%.
Do you think he's like appropriating Rashi's terminology and then applying it in a way that's not necessarily Rashidic?
Maybe. Definitely possible. I don't know. It's a good point. You know, independent of what Rashi and Tosis actually held, you should just realize, like, you know, there are different... We're getting different chords,
yeah,
right, of in Rashi and Tosos as to what exactly makes you the owner of the carbon. Now, we also have to ask, does Rashi agree to Tosos as chelak, right? Would Rashi say that there's a machlokas as sagis, or would Rashi say that we make the distinction between bedek habayis and kachim as beach? The argument you would make in favor of him making that distinction is the fact that Rashi on Ayin Vav specifically gave the example of the Olam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So that's the proposal of Tosos to distinguish between them. And it's not only Tosos, that the Raivet actually independently makes the same chalak, both in his Chidushim on the Gemara and in the Rambam, right, where he goes after the Rambam in Beis Vav, he says, right? The Rambam rules that you don't pay dalad behe, right? I.e., he paskins like the Gemara on Ayin Vav, and the Raivet jumps in. He says, you know, you forgot half the story, right? You know, the Rambam, you forgot that on Ayin Test we paskin that you do pay dalad behe, right? And the reason is because bedek habayis is different from kachem esbeach. So Tosos mm-hmm. and the Raivet are independently coming to the same chelak, which I always enjoy when that happens. Yeah, I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was. Okay. Did you guys, I know I put it in brackets, but did you look at the Tosos writ at all?
I did not.
Okay, so it's very short. So let's take a minute to look at it, and then we'll look at the work of all the briskers. because part of the question we have to raise, I mean, besides the fact that it's a good point by Tosos writ, the Rambam does not make the chaluk of the Raivet and Tosos, right? The Rambam seems to paskin that it's machlokas asugyas, and the Rambam seems to paskin that we will always exempt you from dalbeh. You don't have to say it, but you, at least the Raivet thought that the Rambam did not make that distinction, and there's no evidence that he did. So if we're going to develop an argument for a sweeping fundamental distinction between the nature of kachim mizbeach and the nature of kachim bedek habayis, and we're going to bring a bunch of evidence from the Rambam, so we're going to have to explain why our sugya isn't an afkamina, right? So this Tosos raid will actually be helpful for that also. So we should have it just for its own sake. We should have it for the sake going forward.
Wait, why do you have to explain why our sugya is not an
afkamina? If we're going to say that, they're, right, kache mizbeach, you, let's take it really simply for now. Kache mizbeach, you're really the owner. Kache bedek habayis, Hashem is really the owner.
Yeah.
And that's going to have like five different nafkaminas in the Rambam. I would have thought.
Oh, why did you not have nafkamina?
Yeah,
in the
right.
Oh,
like,
sorry.
You know, you'd be.
Yeah.
This should have
why
been your first sugya, right? You know, if Rabbeinu Tam is giving a shir on Kachay Mizbeach versus Kachay Bedek Habayis, our sugya is his first nafkamina, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this glaring stira in Bava Kama. Oh, the easy way to explain it is exactly our hakir, right? That's
mm-hmm.
like your best proof. So if you're going to have all this evidence in the Rambam, and he's missing this glaring stira in Meruba, so we have to figure out why that is. So it could maybe come from Tosos Rei. So that's what he says. He's got this short little piece. Right, so he quotes the line of Meikara Torah Deruvin, Mahasha Torah Deruvin, and then he says Perish, right, towards the end of that first line. What do you mean, tar the Reuven, hash tar the Reuven, right? As we said, that line needs to be explained. That's not what I would have thought going in. I would have thought, may kara tar the Reuven, v'hash the tar the hektish. So why is it still Reuven's shore? Sheharei tzarech lishcho l'shem ba'ilav. It has to be shechted for the owner. Okay, fine, that's what Tosos had said. V'im hekdishu lebedek habayis nami shmo alav. And even if you dedicate it to the bedek habayis, it still is considered, your shame is still on the animal. How so? Shaharei habaylim mosifin chomesh bepidyono. If you want to redeem something that you dedicated to bedek habayis, right, you're allowed to do that, right? Kadshe mizbeach, you can't redeem, but kadshe bedek habayis, you can. But the owner has to pay an extra fifth, Right? If you dedicate something and you want to redeem it, you must pay 1/5 penalty. The chol adam ein mos even chomesh, right? As opposed to if your friend redeems it on your behalf, then they will just pay the exact price, right? So says Tosfos Reit, oh, so we see that there's shame bialim, both for kedusha, for kachay mizbeach, and for kachay bedek habayis, and therefore we have a sweeping psak, meikara tard ruvim, hashtard ruvim, you never pay dalad v'hei for being makdish what you stole, and we'll say that dafai and tes is a machlokas hasagyas. Okay, so what are Tosfos and the Raiva going to do with this Tosfos Reit? Right, let's figure that out first. Like, he makes a good point. There is a nafka mina in the world of Bedek Habayis, whether you were the owner or not.
I mean, his point, his proof is basically that he hold up. So they could just rule that out. I think he hold up doesn't necessarily.
Well, anybody can redeem Bedek Habayis.
But only one person has to be mostly Chomesh.
Right. And that demonstrates
that it's still
some idea of bias in it. Right.
But
he doesn't get any hana from it. Not that always like call it para hana, but yeah, like when I'd say that would be the difference.
The what defines you as a owner is unclear, right? There's usually we think of financial ownership, but as we've seen already, it's more complicated than that. So does being an owner mean that I have some special relationship with the object that other people don't have, right? Like the United States and Israel, as opposed to the United States and Zimbabwe, right? Special relationship, and that's what makes you the owner. That's basically what Tosfos Reit is arguing, right? You have a relationship with your Bedek Habayis that other people don't have. So we see that, and why do you have that special relationship? Exactly, right? So we see that you're still called the Bialim. But maybe to be considered an ongoing owner, you need not just to have some special relationship or some special halacha, but rights, right? Special zechuyos that still go to you, right? There are ownership bestows all sorts of rights, right? There's the fact that it shows up in your bank account, but there are other rights that can come with ownership as well, right? One being that you get kapara if you give this to if this is offered on your behalf. So exactly. So the Raavad and Tosos can say that Inachinami, you still maybe you even have a shame bialim. We still recognize that you have a relationship with this Bedek Habayis. You have a history with this Bedek Habayis. But in order to trigger Dalad Vehei, or in order to pater you from Dalad Vehei, it's not enough to say that you have a shame bialim, right? What do I care about? I have a shame bialim. It's not mine anymore. Right? Okay, I have a history, and that history has certain, in the halachic man looks at me and says that I have I'm shame bialim on this Bedek Habayis. But in order to trigger Dalad Vehei, or in order to not trigger Dalad Vehei, I have to be an owner to the extent that I still have certain rights. But if I stole an object and I transfer it and I gave over all my rights and I just have some special relationship left, so maybe that will be enough of a transferal of ownership to make me chayav and dal behet, right? So Tosfos Reit does not think that's the case. Tosfos Reit thinks that as long as you have a shame bialim, you haven't triggered dal behet. Tosfos and the Raavad are going to disagree, and they're going to say that it's not enough to be a bialim. You have to, or it's not enough to have a special relationship. You have to have certain. You have to hold on to, retain rights in the object you gave to Hekdesh, in order for Dal Vehei to not be triggered. But if you've given up all your rights, bang, that's Dal Vehei. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's just important because, right? If we're going to talk, we have to remember that there are two. We're calibrating two different questions. Right? One is a question of the relationship between Bedek Habayis and Kachay Mizbeach. Right? How much are you an owner of these objects? And at the same time, there's a Bava Kamma question. How much ownership do I need to retain to not be chayav and dal behei? So even if the Rambam is going to say we don't make distinctions between Bedek Habayis and Kachay Mizbeach for our sugya, That could be because he rejects the chilek between the types of ownership, right? Or he thinks that, you know, from a Bava Kamma perspective, these are really both both the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what we get from Tosfos Ritten, how we'd fight back. So for the rest of the time, let's try to blitz through some of the what Reb Chaim and everyone else did.
Did you find that?
What?
Where did you find this Reb Chaim?
Where did I find it?
Yeah.
I've done it before.
Because that screwed me that I did the wrong one.
Oh, you did the there are two. Yeah, there are two Reb Chaims in Me'ila, and both of them are really important. Actually, they're both like foundational to Hilchos Me'ila. One is Ches Aleph, and one is Beis He. Ches Aleph is where he like defines what Me'ila means.
Beis He. I have Ches Aleph.
No, but it says by hand.
But where do you find it done in that? Ambar Ilad, Chidush Agra. Set up like that.
Chidushe Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi, Hilchos Me'ila, Parak Bat. Right? There's Parak Bat and there's Parak Chat.
Yeah.
You're in the Chidushim on Shas.
Where's this one?
You want in the Rambam.
This Chidushim Rambam.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a shame.
I guess.
Okay, so Reb Chaim sets everything in motion, and then his son and grandson kind of run with it. So the basic case that bothers everybody is the Rambam has a halacha about Parah Aduma, right? And he says, so normally we have a concept in the world of Me'ila, which is that after Nasis Mitzvasan, there's no more Me'ila, right? After the mission of the Karban has been fulfilled, right, there's no more Me'ila on it, right? So that's why if you... it's not the case for other reasons too, but for example, right, so they talked about the fact that the smell of the Ketores could be smelled through all of Yerushalayim, right? Aren't you benefiting from the Beis HaMikdash by smelling the smell of the Ketores? So it opens up a whole question of benefit from smell, but once the mitzvah has been accomplished, right, there's no more problem of Me'ila, right? Because Nasis Mitzvasan gets rid of Me'ila, right? So after the karban has been offered, you now can benefit from the karban, right? That's like Hilchos Me'ila 101. So the Rambam has a very funny halacha in Me'ila, where he says, right, just like by other cases we say Nasis Mitzvasan, and once its mission has been fulfilled, there's no more Me'ila. So too, the Para Aduma, right, there's Me'ila only up until the point that it's been burned, right, and it's been turned into ashes. And once it's been turned into ashes, then you've fulfilled its mission, and there's no more Me'ila. Then he says, even though it's Kadshe Bedek Habayis, right, the Paraduma is one of those funky cases, which is Bedek Habayis, but Kedushas Aguf. So even though it's Bedek Habayis, it's called a Chatas, right? One of the many mysteries of the Paraduma is the Paraduma carbon or not? The Pasuk calls it Chatas. On the other hand, right, where's the whole ceremony done of the Paraduma? So facing the Chatzer, which is interesting, but like I think it's actually in Har Zeisim. I could be wrong, but it's on the mountain parallel to Har Abayis. They have to be facing it.
Right.
But right, so there are all sorts of funky. Is Paraduma carbon or not a carbon? Right. So and that has various nafkamina. Right. So even though it's Bedek Habayis, it's called a chatas, and therefore there's no me'ila once it's been turned to ashes. And the question is just like, what's he talking about? Like, why should Bedek Habayis, apparently the fact that it's Bedek Habayis means that we should not have said Nasis Mitzvasan, right? We should have said that there's me'ila all the way through, except there's a special gzeres hakasiv that we treat this Bedek Habayis like carbon chatas. So why? What's the connection between Nasis Mitzvasan and Bedek Habayis versus Kachem Mizbeach? right? That's the mystery of God here, right? And he quotes the Kesef Mishnah, who says, like, I don't know what we're talking about. This is just an irrelevant factor that it's Bedekah bias. So the way the Ur HaChaim explains that this is all grounded in the difference between Bedekah bias and Kadshei Mizbeach. Bedekah bias, at its foundational level, the sanctity of it stems from its financial value, right? We talked about different kinds of ownership. The Beis HaMikdash, financially speaking, owns Bedekah bias, right? It's in the Hekdesh bank account. So after Na'aseh Mitzvasan, whose bank account is it in? I have the ashes of the Paraduma. Who owns them financially? Exactly, right? Fulfilling the mission of just because the mission is fulfilled doesn't affect bank account situation. And if the kedusha stems from Hektish's ownership, then there should be Me'ila all the way through, right? As opposed to Kadshei Mizbeach. What's the reason why Kadshei Mizbeach have kedusha? Where does the kedusha truly lie in? What's it rooted in?
I make an
animal a carbon.
Yeah.
Right. So where is the kedusha in this animal really stemming from?
In the guf.
In the guf and in its destination.
Right.
Right. This animal is destined to go to the mizbeach.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's gone to the mizbeach and kachay kalim, right? Which is the shlamim. You still are the financial owner of the shlamim. Right, but Hektish has its destiny is to the Mizbeach. Well, once its destiny has been fulfilled, then there's no more Me'ila, right? So that's why Na'aseh Mitzvasan is only going to apply to Kadshei Mizbeach, because the Kedusha of those things stems from its destiny. Na'aseh Mitzvasan will not apply to Bedekah Bias, because its Kedusha stems from its the bank account, and bank account and mission accomplished have nothing to do with each other, right? And that's why the Rambam has to say, even though the Para Aduma is Berek HaBayis, it's called a Chatas, and therefore there is a special halacha that there is a Ptur of Na'aseh Mitzvasan. So the only case where you have Berek HaBayis and Na'aseh Mitzvasan will get rid of Me'ila is the Para Aduma. And then Rav Chaim has like a spike the football proof for this distinction, which is the question of Kadshim Shemesu. Right, I have an animal and it's hektish, and it dies. So is there me'ila on this dead animal or not? So based on the chilkim, what would you say?
I guess not, because it made it to the location.
Always.
Oh, okay. So
maybe
not for kashim
yeah.
But perhaps for bedek bias.
Right. Why would we make that chilk?
Because what's the point of bedek bias? Is that what you get? Should be slaughtered for the purpose of
carbon.
You mean Kadshei Mizbeach?
Yeah. Who owns the dead animal? Bedek HaBayis. Who owns the dead animal?
The Mikdash.
The Mikdash, right? So no different between the mission fulfilled or not fulfilled, or the animal's alive, the animal's dead. It belongs to Hektish, and the carcass belongs to Hektish just as the live animal did. So we would think that there is Me'ila, whether it was alive or not. What if it's Kedushas Mizbeach? Then what would you say, maybe?
It's never Me'ila there.
So its Kedusha only comes from its mission.
So then it still would be... Oh, now it can't... It doesn't have the mission anymore. Because
right.
It can't be used for the mission.
So exactly.
Yeah.
So you have three possible situations. You could have mm-hmm. mission success, mission failure, or mission mm-hmm. ongoing. Right? The Kedusha is only going to be active if mission is ongoing. Right, just like mission succeeded, okay, there's no more kedusha. So too, if the mission failed and the carbon died, right, without going to the mizbeach, there's no reason for kedusha anymore. And sure enough, that's the halacha, right? Kadshim shemesu. If it's bedek habayis, then there is me'ila. And if it's kedushas mizbeach, then there's no me'ila. Okay, that's what Rav Chaim does, right? So we have a fundamental distinction between bedek habayis, which the Kedusha stems from the ownership, versus Kadshei Mizbeach, where the Kedusha really stems from the destiny to the Mizbeach. While financial ownership could still be, right, you still are the Bailim, right? Just you're the Bailim on an object which is destined to the Mizbeach. Okay. So then, just to go through a couple more, right? So they put this this new fancy book out a few years ago, right? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has three sons. The third is the Brisker Rav, right? Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. The second son is Rav Moshe Halevi Soloveitchik, right? Who's the father of the Rav and the father of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. The Briskers in general were like OCD about publishing, right? Unless it was like perfect, they weren't going to publish their stuff. Rav Moshe died young and died suddenly, I think in 1940. He was like 61 years old. It was actually an interesting chapter in like YU's history, because it's like right when World War II is about to start, and Dr. Revel passed away suddenly, and then like a few months later, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik died suddenly.
And then they were looking for a new president.
Yeah, exactly. They need a new president, and they need a Rosh Yeshiva, and for years they've been resisting bringing the Rav down from Boston, and people are still resisting bringing the Rav down from Boston, and then they finally begrudgingly say, okay, you can come for a one-year trial, see how it goes. Interesting stuff. But so anyway, so Rav Moshe never had that many published chidushim. He had some articles that he published in like various Torah journals, but never like a book. So the Rav would like go out of his way to quote his father all the time, so people would appreciate like his creativity. And then, like 25 years ago or so, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik and Yitzi Lichtenstein and Rabbi Chaim Olson published a bunch of stuff which they had like in Rav Moshe's desk, you know, like his handwritten stuff. They put it together. They called it Chidushei Hagram Levi. It's got a nice Rashi, black cover, Rashi font, two columns. The only problem with it was that you couldn't find anything, because it was like there's no index, there was no, you know, you'd have like random essays sprinkled in. It was just hard to, unless you knew where to find stuff, which I don't know how you do, you couldn't find anything. So like a couple years ago they put out the second edition, and then it went out of print, and then you couldn't find it for 20 years. So a couple years ago they put out this like nice, beautiful indexed with topics and with people and with Gemaras. So now it's like they have this new one and it's easy to find stuff, and there's awesome stuff.
Who wants to work on this stuff?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and they did an awesome job. They like cross reference you to like any time that Rav Chaim said something similar or the Rav said something similar. So you know if you have like encyclopedic knowledge of Brisker Torah in obscure areas of Me'ila, then you can do this. Which means like two people in the world could have done this, and they did. So anyway, he has a couple. So just one more parenthetical thing: Rav Moshe Soloveitchik apparently was very attracted to the laws of Me'ila, which is like one of the most complicated things in Shas. Because in this whole book, Me'ila, which is a pretty short section, takes up 50 pages of the book. It's by far the biggest one in this whole thing. Apparently, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, you know, like Me'ila was his baby. So he has a couple of passages where he also develops the same argument as his father. He does a couple of helpful things to advance the argument. One, he says, "Hey, our Gemara, right? It may not be in the Rambam, but our Gemara is a great example of this same chiluk, right? That Bedek HaBayis, the Kedusha, is rooted in financial ownership. And therefore, we should say that there is a Chiyuv Dalad Behe, right? Because you've transferred financial ownership to Hekdesh, as opposed to Kedushas Mizbeach, right? Where the primary Kedusha stems from its destiny, and therefore it makes sense that there would not be a Chiyuv Dalad Behe." Now, the Rambam thinks that there's never a Chiyuv Dalad Behe, right? As we talked about, that could be because maybe he agrees with Tosfos Rid that as long as you still have a relationship with the object, that's not going to trigger Dalad Behe. But he's the first one who says, hey, we can connect what Rav Chaim is doing with what Tosfos are doing. And he also gives you a very nice proof that the Rambam really buys into this chiluk. And that is Rambam in Hilchos Arachin. If you have the Rav Moshe that I sent you out, so this is the one in Parak Gimel. Parak Gimel, Hachayit Beis, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, the second page, exactly. So you just see he quotes this Rambam in Arachin. With a little bit of dot, dot, dots. All right, so I have something which is hektish. Can I give it the opposite form of kedusha? So if I have something which is kedusha, I make something a carbon, can I donate it to Berakha Bias? I have something that's Berakha Bias, can I make it a carbon? So what do we think? What do we think about those two cases? I donate something to Berakha Bias, and now I want to make it a carbon. Can I do that? Why?
Because now it's
you
already.
Wait, too late. You can't. You gave up ownership, and it belongs to the hektish now. So, right, you decide you want to make it a carbon. Sorry, I can't do it. What about the reverse?
Maybe not, because the reverse, it's more yours than when it's
Bedekabai. Right. It's right. Okay. So I made it a carbon, and I established that its destiny is to the mizbeach, and that gives it kedusha. But I still am the Bailim. I still have rights, so maybe I still can transfer the whatever financial zechuyos I have to the Mekdash and make it Berakha Bias. And sure enough, the Rambam says that's exactly what the halacha is. If I have Kachi Mizbeach, the Rambam rules in Erechin, you can make it Berakha Bias. But if I have Berakha Bias, I can't make it Kedushas Mizbeach. Right? So this is like a perfect example of how those two forms of kedusha are fundamentally different, and the status of the bailim is fundamentally different as well. Right? There are no lingering rights in Berakha Bias, while there are in kedushas mizbeach. That's this piece from Moshe. Give me just 1 second, just to skim the other one, see if there's anything I wanted to get out of that one in that first one I sent you. But I think we're basically good with this. Yeah. That first one was all the first one was basically the same stuff as Reb Chaim. It was just more clear, more spelled out. Okay, and finally, we can get to just maybe a couple of points that the Rav had, right? So the Shimos here, so they basically quote most of what has already been said. There's one that I just wanted to squeeze in, which is the second point he makes, Os Bat. If you just take a minute to open the Rambam, we didn't talk about this, to open the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva Parak Beis. I'll do this very quickly.
Should I open it up again on Bar Ilan, or it's in the source
quotes? No, yeah, get it in Bar Ilan. Get it in Bar Ilan. Okay. The Rambam Geneva Beis Aleph. Yeah, so we're going to skip that. Gonevas Hagai. Yeah. Osha Gunav Nichse Hakdish, right? Somebody who steals something which belongs to Hakdish. In Mishalim El HaKaren Bavad, right? He only pays the principal. You do not pay Kefel if you steal from Hakdish. We actually saw this Gemara in the beginning of the parak. You do not pay Kefel if you steal from Hakdish. Why? Because Pasuk says, Yeshalim Shnayim Li Re'ehu. Right? You only pay Kefel if you stole from Re'ehu, and Re'ehu Velo Lehakdish, Re'ehu Velo Lugai. Okay. V'chein Hagonev Kadshim Ibeis Ba'alehen, or if you steal Kadshim from somebody's house, Bein Kadshe Kadshim, Bein Kadshe Kalim. Right? So what are both of those, Kadshe Kadshim and Kadshe Kalim?
Kadshe Kadshim are Kadshe Mitzvah, Kadshe Kalim.
Are also Kachem is bad, right? Yeah. So if you steal, if you steal Kachem Kachem or Kachem Kalim, but Kedushas Mizbeach from somebody, so you're also pater from Kefel, right? And there he quotes a pasuk, Begunav Mibes Ha'ish, Velo Mibes Hakdish. So the Rambam says, you don't pay Kefel if you steal from Hakdish. And what's the pasuk that you don't pay kefil if you steal from Hekdesh? There are two pasukim. Right? First it said, if you steal from Hekdesh, you don't pay kefil. Because the pasuk says, right, Yishan Shnayim Lirei Ehu. And if you steal Hekdesh from your friend, then you don't pay kefil because the pasuk said, V'gunav mi beis hayish. Why do I need to have two pasukim? Exactly, right? And the first part of the Rambam is talking about if you steal from Hekdesh, you steal Bet HaKabayis. If I steal Bet HaKabayis, I should have paid kefil because it's financially speaking owned by the Mikdash. And so that's what the pasuk says, you only pay kefil if you steal from your friend and not if you steal from Hekdesh. But what about the second piece in the Rambam? So that was Kadshei Mizbeach, right? So maybe in Achanami, I don't pay kefil for Bet HaKabayis because the owner, the financial owner, is the Mikdash, and you only pay kefil if you steal from a Jewish owner, a Jewish human owner. But Kadshei Mizbeach, the Jewish human owner, is the Bailin. So maybe I should pay kefil if I steal a karban that belongs to you, right? You have the Shem Bailin, you're getting the kapara, the shechted for you, etc., etc. Maybe there you should pay kefil. Okay, that's why we need a second pasuk. Vigunav mi besayish, velo mi besakdish, right? Not only does it have to be, right, because this is re'ehu, right? This does, the owner is your friend, but it has to be stolen mi besayish, and not mi besakdish, right? Which apparently means that it's like fully yours, or, you have complete control, and mizbeach, it's not besayish, because the destiny of the karban is not to go to besayish. Right, the destiny of the karban is to go to the mizbeach. Right, so the Rav quotes Rav Chaim as saying this is another example in the Rambam demonstrating the fundamental difference between kadshei mizbeach and kadshei bet HaKabayis in terms of your status as an owner. Okay, yeah. Yishkach. So that's it.